This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's our producer. We appreciate you tuning in. The number's 312-981-7200. Financial columnist Terry Savage is ready to roll. Visit terrysavage.com. Terry Savage will take some of your calls, but not all of them. We'll do the best we can. Call now and queue up in line, 312-981-7200. While we can't get to all of you, you got a better shot getting in here than you do at the state's unemployment office in Springfield or Chicago, wherever they man those phones. About our last guest just before the news, we had a representative, an analyst on from Wallet Hub. They did a survey of all 50 states in Washington, D.C. Again, they said that Wisconsin is the second most liberated state from lockdowns, while Illinois remains 51st, the most locked down state. Also, our infection rate, they rate as the 45th deepest or most severe. So it makes sense that we would still be most locked down. Other states like, say, South Dakota and Montana tend to be more aligned the other way. That is, they're not very locked down and their infection rates are not very high. And then some states are topsy-turvy. And maybe this is the value of that survey. It should be maybe information for them, where Indiana is a much more opened up state than we are. Their infection rate is higher than their opening up rate, right? You'd like to see those things both traveling in the same direction, but where they are fairly liberal about opening the state up, they still have an infection rate problem. Some of the points at wallethub.com. And finally, just three quick text messages to the show. John, good luck wearing a mask in 85 to 90 degree heat. I start sweating at about 70. I'm dreading summer in Illinois. Hey, John, I can't breathe with a mask on in the heat, and I'm 46. I'm in good shape. And finally, everyone wearing a mask, but many have their noses sticking out. Folks, that defeats the purpose. Terry Savage. Go to terrysavage.com or listen for her Wednesdays here. Terry, are you good about wearing your mask in public? Or
I am very good about wearing my mask in public, and you just made me laugh at the thought of people sticking their noses out. Before we get into the serious business of the day, I have a request for you.
Okay.
I think Peter, can you just play a few bars of our theme song? Is that too hard to do right now?
Yeah, sure. He'll grab it. What's up?
I mean, just listen to that. I want to tell you something. Our theme song has got to be changed.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
What's the matter?
It's too ironic. I mean, maybe it's just me. I am overwhelmed with posts, you know, from not only our listeners here, but around the country because of my column, of people who really need the dollars and aren't getting them. But for Illinois people, the Illinois Department of Employment Security is just outrageous. And, I mean, people are waiting. People have been unemployed since early March, mid-March, filed April, late March, early April, April 1st, and they still have either not received their benefits, and then, of course, the self-employment snafu with this terrible data breach.
Yeah.
I've reached out, you know, when I sat in for you a week ago Friday, I had Rebecca Sisko, who is the public information officer of IDES. I started yesterday and early this morning calling her cell. I have it. I get no response. I talked, actually, and then let's just name who's responsible because his name hasn't been out there. His name is Thomas Chan. He's the acting director of IDES. He's an attorney. He said he's not an employment specialist. He's trying to make this work. No response to emails, calls, and they've gone silent except for the governor belatedly on Monday to a reporter's question, acknowledging there was a huge data security breach. But am I wrong? I haven't heard the governor talking about the mess that is IDES.
Terry, I mentioned this earlier in the show today. I said those people should be running around with their hands in the air. The governor was very good about being upfront about medical information and trying
right
to convey that. But he needs to be talking as much about the IDES catastrophe as he is about the medical catastrophe. And they're not owning it. And my audience is beyond frustrated with this.
Well, you know, I always think I can get through on these things. In fact, I don't know if I could say this. Yeah, I just got a call from Senator Durbin. who said he heard me on our show and on a couple of the other shows that I've been on GN. He listens in his car. And he asked me some questions. And, you know, he's concerned at the federal level, of course, with the PPP program and the stimulus. But, I mean, I don't know how you get to the governor to say to him.
I don't either. We call the governor's office. My producer calls the governor's office every single day, and I know that I've heard him on with Bob Surratt, and I've seen him on Channel 9, and I've seen him on national shows too, which kind of irks me. But they don't even acknowledge that we've reached out to them. I know they're busy, but I mean, come on. This is the most listened to talk station in Chicago. It's one of the most listened to talk stations in the country. You don't even acknowledge that we're trying to get you to come on and talk about this. They don't even acknowledge it.
Right, or issue a statement.
I just talked about it.
An hour ago. I mean, I'm going to be on the air. Just tell me what to say. Tell me what you're doing.
Okay, let's do this. 312-981-7200. That's Terry and I venting a little bit. We're here to help you as best we can. I want to talk about the stock market, and I want to give people as much information as we can about your unemployment and your stimulus checks. 312-981-7200.
I need a dollar, dollar.
My number is 312-981-7200. Terry's right. This song does not sing to what you're going through. If you want to suggest for next Wednesday's episode, we're not making light of this, but that says share your dollar. You don't have a dollar to share right now.
No,
so
nobody's getting dollars. I mean, whether it's a stimulus program, the dependent kids not getting the money, the unemployment program. That's what I said. As I was listening to it, waiting to go on, I went,
"Are you gonna do a new song?" 312-981-7200. Call with your question or comment now, and text me the song that we should play next week that speaks better to this, and we'll come up with something here. Tara's got it. Terry, I know you wanted to talk briefly about the stock market. The Dow continues. All the indices continue to do well. What's going on here?
What's going on is that there's money out there, and there's hope out there, and nobody wants to be left behind. I don't call the markets. I'm just sitting back and shaking my head. You know, we had Dr. Bob on our Bull and Bear show, who said, you know what's going to happen by the end of the year? All the institutions will realize they missed it. They're supposed to be like 60-40 in stocks, and they're going to run in and buy stocks. And he called for 30,000 by the end of the year, Dr. Bob Frelick. Let's see what happens. I still think this is kind of a risky, risky time. For people who are trying to time the market, please always know, and I don't know how much of our audience this is, but if you're working and you still got your job or you're going back to your job and your employer's matching your 401k contribution, just put that $300 or $400 in there every month. When we get beyond this, there's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in a diversified portfolio of U.S. large company stocks with dividends reinvested. That's your 401k. That's the S&P 500. Or go pick stocks that you like. Don't pick Chinese stocks. The Senate just passed a bill this morning. I'm going to remember the name of this, which is unbelievable. They are now going to be having more oversight of Chinese companies. So companies like Alibaba and so forth dropped in. There's just too much going on to be trading stocks unless it's your full-time business.
You don't like that move by the government to oversee Chinese companies?
It requires a foreign company to certify it's not owned or manipulated by a foreign government. If the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board is unable to audit.
I know how they're going to fill out that form. And
yeah,
then
I mean, like, excuse me? All right, what can I say?
All right, here we go. Tara's got a question for you. Terry, you're on WGN. Tara, what can we do for you?
Hi, Terry. So I am trying to put some money in the stock market. I've been buying things with a theme of to move. Since nothing's moving, I thought I'll put money in things that move because eventually they will move, like, you know, the airline business, cruises, El Dorado stock. And I know that's risky, and I know I'm probably naive on many levels. Excuse me, but my question to you is that in any case, if I'm buying into a stock, am I better off if, let's say, I bought 150 shares? Am I better off when things improve to just like sell it all, or am I better to like just sell off like 50 shares and then sit back and see where things go from there so that I'm not like all or nothing?
Are you assuming you're going to sell at a profit, or are you trying to decide if you if the stock goes straight down whether you're going to sell it all or just part of it?
No, I'm looking as things are going up. Do I take, like, for example, Eldorado, I had 150 shares of. I bought it at, like, $17. It's now at $31. I sold 50 shares today because I wanted to take one step out.
Right.
Tara, let me give you a serious answer. First of all, you are a speculator. You know what you're doing, and I'm congratulations for doing it successfully. I have a rule when I know that I'm doing something speculative is that when I get my own money back, I take that money off the table, kind of the way I go to Las Vegas, too. So that you're playing with the house's money, not your own. I find it gives you a great detachment. So if you put $5,000 in there, and then the stock doubled, and now it's worth 10. I would typically, myself, but I'm kind of a very conservative trader, is take the 5,000 back and go, okay, now it's a pure speculation. But it's a psychological thing, Tara, so if you're going to speculate in stocks, you better figure this out, because not necessarily are you going to have to make this choice on the upside. You might be forced to make it on the downside, and the third choice you might be forced to make on the downside is, if I liked it at X and it went up to X plus 10 and then it collapses to X minus 7, should I buy more when it goes down? There's an old law in the markets, never chase a losing position, never average down. And on the upside, I like to take my money off the table when I've made a big score and let the rest of it ride.
And it sounds like that's what you want to know, right, Tara? If you,
well, does that mean when you say 5,000 and you get, let's say it goes to 10,000, do you take the 10,000 out or
no,
you take
five.
The 5,000 out?
I take the five
I started with.
Okay.
That's monopoly money.
Right.
And it's just house money you're playing with.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I never play, by the way, Tara. I treat the stock market as deadly serious because it's real money. And every time I think about losing money, I think about how hard I work to make it. I mean, I've invested, too, and the market's made money for me over the long run. I know that is a fact. I believe in that profoundly, even now, that over the long run, you're going to come out ahead. But I don't like losing my money down the drain in the stock market at all.
Good luck to you, Tara. We'll go from Tara to Steve. You're on WGN. What's your question for Terry Savage? Hi, Steve.
Hi, Terry. I've been trying to deal with the SBA for their disaster, and I've been trying to get the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, and they never opened up on the first offering of the money group, and then on the second one when they just opened up, they only opened it up for agriculture.
For agriculture,
And I'm a small business person, independent, and I'm a DBA.
Okay.
I've spoken to them many a times because they always say call in. And one thing good about the SBA is when you call that 800 number, they usually pick it up. There's always somebody to pick it up. So my question to you, have you heard anything available for us? Because the banks have stopped dealing with people like us because they don't want to deal with the risk.
I got it. Well, aren't you lucky? Just yesterday, the Better Business Bureau had a webcast, and on that webcast was a representative, Bo Steiner, who was in charge of the SBA Illinois office. And he explained, in fact, that they have are not taking applications for that particular program anymore. They're overwhelmed, he says. So I'm not sure you'll get any luck, but if you want to see that webcast, you can go to the website of the Better Business Bureau Chicago, and you will be able to see the entire webcast and all his comments. So it's chicago.bbb.org. is the website. You can hear what he had to say about every SBA program and all his great advice. So it's about an hour-long webcast just from yesterday.
Good luck to you, Steve. There you go. And fortunately, Terry's the sort of person that watches those things. Larry is next on WGN. Larry, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Terry, I got a letter from the unemployment office that said I'm eligible for my unemployment and the $600 a week. It told me to certify on Tuesday, April 14th. They didn't mail the letter to me until the 24th of April, and I didn't get it till the 30th. Now, when I call in to certify on the phone, it takes my Social Security, my PIN number, and then says to call 800-244-5631, which absolutely nothing. What I'm curious about is if and when I do get certified, is this retroactive?
Yes. The only saving, I mean, assuming you can survive, and there are a lot of people out there who really counted on unemployment literally to pay the rent or buy food. The only saving grace to this mess is that one day you will get a lump sum if they ever get this sorted out. I was about to join the club. I've gotten, I can't tell you how many emails. Please don't bother. I've passed a bunch of them on. It's gone. It's a dead end for everybody. The number disconnects. When you're asked to call that number, it rings and rings. People use auto dialers and have told me they did 300 calls a day, and it still doesn't get through. Now, when I did talk to Thomas Chan, who supposedly runs the whole thing, he said that last week, the first day, in the first 3 days, they got almost 2 million calls. Now, I remember speaking to Rebecca Sisco the week before, who said she was so excited they were going to add another 100 people to a new call center. So that was, they're in the under 500 people in the call center, and you're getting well over 1 million calls a week, and the system's breaking down. It's not just the calling part of it. The system itself is breaking down, and that's without the new PUA center, and that's without the security breach.
We took a call from a woman named Ruth who was a similar boat before you came on, Terry. She reached out to us in early April, and she's a W-2 employee, and she thinks she's done everything right, and she doesn't have the money. And I said, Terry said, be patient. Some people said there was a very tricky question on there. It says, you know, are you eligible to work? And they will type in, are you able to work? And they type in no, because I've been furloughed. And the correct answer is yes, meaning I would work if I could.
Yeah, that's very important. They need to know in this crazy thing, the way the logic of it works is illogical. But what you're basically certifying is that you are available to work. And basically you're supposed to be saying, I'm looking for work. Well, no, you know, you can't look for work. You can't find work anymore. But in traditional unemployment, you have to say, yes, I'm ready and willing and able. As soon as somebody offers me a job, I'll go to work. Good, we'll give you unemployment while you search. That's the idea of it.
312-981-7200. We'll take more of your calls after we check the news. Also, songs for Terry Savage, John. Please play for her segment, I Don't Get No Satisfaction. John, how about Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? 630 said, I Ain't Got No Money. There's a bunch of songs, and we'll find something appropriate, not to make light of this, but maybe we'll all cry together when we hear that next Wednesday. Our guest is Terry Savage. This is WGN. It's 1234. You can find her at terrysavage.com, and you can hear her here on Wednesdays, now with the new theme song.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. You know, I need someone.
This is the lament of people calling in on the various phone numbers to state and federal agencies.
I never needed anybody's help.
Perfect.
And you need it now.
Perfect. Great. I don't know who picked that. Maybe it was Pete, the greatest producer, but that was perfect.
You got pretty good people here. More phone calls for you, Terry, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We'll talk to Bill on line four next year on WGN. Bill, how can we help you today?
Hi,
Bill. That's you. You're on the air.
Hey, wonderful. Hey, I'm in a unique situation where I have half of my income is W-2 employed, salaried, and I'm still receiving my regular check every couple of weeks from that. But then I also have two other 1099 incomes that have been closed. The offices have been closed due to the state closing them because of the pandemic.
I'm glad you called. I think there's a lot of people like you out there.
John, you've heard that too. I was about to say, it's not such a unique situation. And here's the problem, and there is no solution to this. If you had one job and your income was reduced, you know, you were making $60,000, now you're making half of $60,000, you can apply for unemployment insurance just based on a significant reduction. I'm working on a special column on that, as a matter of fact. But if you are getting still W-2 unemployment checks, and they're the same level checks you were getting last year, even though your self-employed income has gone away, you will be considered employed based on your W-2 income. You won't be able to be turned down by the traditional unemployment because, you know, I mean, you will be turned down.
Yeah.
Let me back up for a second. You will be turned down for that. You can then try, if you can get through the system, to go for the PUA. That's a long way of saying you're going to get your unemployment check from the state if you have W-2 income and you've lost that job. But if you still have that job and you get turned down, you can then go ahead and file for the PUA.
So even though he logically wouldn't apply for unemployment for his W-2 job,
exactly.
Do that get turned down?
They'll say, wait, what are you talking about?
As they should, but that's the hoop you got to jump through to get to the 1099 stuff.
Well, they did not turn me down. They sent me the UI finding letter that I do qualify because I checked off the box in relation to the W-2, still working, comma, or part-time. And then I listed my two other jobs as 1099 independent contractor type jobs.
They sent you money?
They haven't sent me money. Today was the first day that I certified.
Okay.
So
you do me
I'll
a favor
and find out. And when I use the little assistant that's on the side and ask that same question that I presented to you, they said, go ahead and file for regular unemployment benefits before you go into the PUA
side. You must
side
do
of
that. You must do that. But will you call back or at least send me an email? Don't everybody send me an email, but it's terry@terrysavage.com. And let me know the day you get your money. That's terrific. I want to give good information, and it's so nonsensical. People have written back to me. I want to say that a bunch of people, when I've asked them to email me what happens after I've tried to talk them through it, most people say, I'm still waiting, I can't buy my medicines. But a bunch of people have sent me notes. Guess what? I got my unemployment. I mean, I really got money, and that makes me so happy.
I'm glad, too. All right, Bill, so that's your assignment, terry@terrysavage.com. Let her know when you get the money. One last call here before we go, and I think that's going to be Jeff. You're on WGN. Jeff, what's your story?
Hi, Terry. Hi, John. We went through the same struggles everybody else did for weeks with hang-up calls, busy lines, everything. We contacted our state rep and let them know of our problems. They somehow got our name and number through to IDES, and IDES called us. We had our problems resolved by a fantastic representative right away.
Which was your state representative?
Diane Pappas.
Well, anybody who lives in her district, now you know why you have a state representative. We get all those pictures of them sitting around in the legislature down there, yeah, having political wars over the budget. That's great advice, and if your state representative can get into the IDES, hallelujah.
It shouldn't require that, but you know they do have constituent workers, and this is their job, so if they can pull the levers, more power to you.
That's what they did. It was fabulous.
How about that?
I'm
glad you called, Jeff, and you know any help that we can all cobble together here. Pete, we got time for another call with Terry, right? Okay, let's talk to Melissa. You're on WGN. Melissa, how can we help?
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. I kind of have a unique situation. I own my own company, and I W-2 myself. I applied individually for unemployment about the middle of March, right when we could, and I was denied because I only pay myself a salary once a year, so they only have record of me getting paid for one quarter from 2019 and 2018. And
yeah,
I keep trying to appeal it, and I'm getting nowhere, and I call 50 to 100 times a day trying to get in to see if it's even worth it, if they compare.
Melissa, when you try that, Melissa, do you ever get to the appeals person?
No, I never have talked to one person. In fact, for a couple of weeks, when you press the option number 3 for appeals, it just automatically hung up on you.
Okay, we're short of time here, but Terry, what's your answer?
I get that because part of what they look at is your work history and the year, the entire year counts. I understand exactly why you do that for yourself. I get that completely. People wonder how you can live, but I know how you can live because I have my own corporation, same thing. So you are caught in the switches. This is when I look at the basic people who are literally writing to me, they can't pay their rent, can't buy their medicines and so forth because they haven't gotten through the system. I they are just regular cases. You are a unique case, and it will require an appeal. And all I can say is that under the law, if the appeal comes up in June or July, if you get through, once this thing settles down, you should get the back pay and the federal stimulus.
So it's another be patient, but that's really for a lot of people.
But keep trying. Yeah, yes. Yeah. They're just, oh, I know for a fact, I know by the numbers, that's the one thing I got was the 1.5 million people that called in the first few days of last week, the PUA week. And I know for sure that the number of call center workers is well under 1,000. So the odds are just very long and the system is very broken.
Do the math. All right, Melissa, good luck to you and be patient. And, you know, Terry, you keep saying people are trying to pay their bills. Literally, they're trying to buy groceries. I live near a food distribution site for a food bank that's popped up. And when Brenda and I drove by it the other day, it was blocks long, the cars. And I want to say this. Those are relatively nice cars. It was, and there were people in there who looked like they had jobs 10 minutes ago, and now they don't have money for food. It wasn't just the downtrodden. There were some downtrodden, and there were some uptrodden, and it was just a who's who of socioeconomic brackets, if you will. and they were all lining up, and the cars were, I think, interesting. Some of them were very nice vehicles or relatively nice family cars, and they were waiting for food.
This has been a shock to America's system, and I personally believe that just as the Depression made a really lasting impression on the importance of saving and being out of debt for our grandparents, that this is going to change America in many ways. I hope so, it does. And because of that, I'm not going crazy over the market being up or down 300 points a day. I think there's something bigger going on here, a realization of a lot of change.
Let's hope so. We'll talk to you next week with a new theme song.
Thanks, John. Looking forward to it.
That's Terry Savage at terrysavage.com. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Northwest Indiana's legendary Three Floyds Brewing has closed its brew pub indefinitely because of safety concerns. Say it could be closed a year or two, but the brand isn't going away. Its brewery will continue to operate. United Airlines is planning for July capacity to be down 75% from last year. Is that good news? It's actually an uptick from May and June, where capacity was down 90%. And 5 McDonald's workers are suing in Illinois. They say they're being forced to work too closely to potentially affected coworkers or customers. I'm Steve Bertrand. That's the Wintrust Business Minute.
Steve Bertrand, what are you looking at?
The Dow's up 314 points so far today. The NASDAQ up 174. And the S&P 500 up 45.
Everything you just said, I've got Terry's replay in my mind now about trying to keep things in perspective and where we are. I guess that's what you're looking at too, Orion. How are the markets for you?
The grain market doing quite well today, thank you. The July wheat contract is currently up 14 cents a bushel. That puts it at $5.12.5. The July corn contract, however, down a penny and a half, trading at $3.19.75. And the July soybean contract is higher. It's up 4 cents a bushel, $8.46.5. Livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, June lean hog contract up 22 cents a hundredweight. The August live cattle contract is down $1.57, and the May feeder cattle contract is down $1.32 a hundredweight. If you're a corn producer that has your product going to make ethanol, you'll be interested in a meeting on Capitol Hill today with the chief of the Environmental Protection Agency, Andrew Wheeler, and some members of a committee on the Hill. And in that discussion, the agency has not yet decided whether to grant requests from the oil refining industry to reduce biofuel blending mandates this year. So the oil industry and several state governors had asked the EPA to issue a nationwide waiver to trim back the blending mandates to reduce regulatory costs on refining companies as they struggle with low fuel demand caused by the economic fallout. Asked if the agency had decided on how to handle the request, the Director Wheeler said, "No, we have not done it yet." Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue today announced that households in 13 new states, including Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan, and Ohio, will soon be able to purchase food online with their SNAP program benefits. Once operational, online purchasing will be available in 36 states and the District of Columbia. That's home to more than 90% of participants in the SNAP program. Still waiting for word on county fair schedules for this summer because it'll be a different fair season, as I've mentioned, but at least I'll repeat a story earlier this week from Indiana that they will hold county 4-H fairs in the Hoosier State this summer. But keep an eye on state FFA conventions and county fair schedules and state fair schedules because we're in for a new season that will have some big changes. That's your money on 720 WGN.
It's also 1249 on WGN Radio. So every now and then the boss here at WGN Radio says, let's not forget the truckers. Let's not forget the transportation industry. The fact that you still do have food on the grocery shelves and that there are items at the hardware store and that you can get paint at Lou Manfredini's places because somebody put it on a truck and they got it there. And it is a complex web you and I don't take the time to think about because we didn't have to. Now we're at least appreciating the fact that some of those businesses are out there. And we're shining a light on another one of them here at WGN Radio. On a phone line is John Pettinger. He is the president and founder of Brexis. Brexis, Inc. That's not Brexit. That's Brexis. John, welcome to WGN Radio. How are you today?
Good, John. Thanks for having me.
I do a fair description of what you all do. Tell us what your business is.
We provide service for the food distributors. So we're lucky to have a ton of food distributors in the Chicago market, and they primarily have larger tractor trailers. And sometimes they have injuries or accidents, or in this particular case, sometimes they have some of their drivers go down with this virus. So they call us, and we have 26-foot refrigerated box trucks, and we swoop in and get whatever load is ready or load that's compromised, and then we take that the final mile for them. So we're the extra capacity when they need it.
No kidding. So you're not the truckers for Walmart. You're not an independent trucking company. You're sort of swooping in when people have some sort of emergency or temporary need, huh?
Yes, we're like the a tow truck, or we're like the ER room. We wait for things to happen, and they happen a lot, and we're ready to go at a moment's notice, and we can pick up their loads and get them delivered as if the customer would never even know sometimes that we're swooping in for a food distributor and delivering that for them, the final mile. We do final mile, but we'll also go from the Chicago market out to West Virginia or Ohio or up to the Dakotas or something like that to help out the food distributors.
How many folks do you employ, John?
We have 26 on our staff. We're very fortunate to have a very seasoned, experienced group that sometimes we don't have a whole lot going on. Then other times we're busy, just tons of hours and tons of days helping out wherever we need to be.
You guys are in Portage, Indiana. Winfield, you're headquartered in Chicago, is that right?
We have an office in Chicago. We primary office is in Winfield. Today, I'm in our Portage, Indiana office, providing support here at this office.
So are you busier now than you would normally be because of COVID-19?
It's interesting. Right after the big announcement back in the middle of March, we got quiet. Our phones got silent for a bit. And so that's when I just pulled the team together and I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you that we've been in business for 20 years, and this group of employees has helped me grow this business for 20 years. And I said, I'm going to be here, and we're going to support you guys now and make sure that you're taken care of and your families are taken care of. And this is even before we knew about the PPP or different programs that were out there. But we were financially stable, and I said, to the team that we have about 8 weeks of finances that we can hold the team together. And then I went out and I worked with three different banking institutions to pull my lines of credit to bolster that even more. And then we were very quick and very fortunate to work with a small community bank, and we were able to solidify the PPP. And I was able to communicate that to all of our team and hold them together. So during that quiet time, we we cleaned everything. We did all of our preventive maintenance on our trucks and everything. So we were ready to go when it started to pick back up. And now, the phone slowly started ringing again, and we had opportunities to help out. And sadly enough, we helped out when some of these other trucking firms, they had some of their drivers come down with the virus. So, again, we were able to swoop in.
So those aren't owner-operators. You own all 20-some trucks, do you?
No, we have a combination of both. We have our own assets where we have our own refrigerated trucks, so we have employees, but we also use and utilize some independent contractors as well.
When you guys are delivering food, then, is it what's it like on the other end? Is it kind of a different protocol? Because we all know grocery shopping is a little different now. What's it like for your guys when they're interacting with people?
It's very interesting. Prior to this, we were very, interactive and friendly and shaking hands and, hey, good to see you. Here's who we are. This is what we're here to do. Now we're all gloves and masks, and we go in. Typically, before this, we'd get signatures for our deliveries. Now, from a distance, everybody keeps this distance, and we do our business getting the items delivered in the stores or restaurants where we're going. And then from afar, we say, hey, just give me your name, and then we type that into our signature app on the driver's phone. So it's much different.
Don't you hate that? I mean, I forget what it was the other day, but I had a transaction with somebody, and I thought, doggone it, this is the sort of thing where we'd be sitting next to each other, we'd be shaking hands, we'd be looking each other in the face, and now we're afraid to do it. Or even if we're not afraid to do it, we don't do it. It's a different kind of business world that way, isn't it?
It really is. And there's even this awkward moment where,
yes,
like what you just said, we would shake, and now we're like, are we supposed to?
Yeah.
You know, it's awkward. But we're making it happen, and we're getting through it. I have to laugh sometimes. I'm getting tired of hearing all these ads and stuff like that during these uncertain times. So I think to myself, what entrepreneur or what small business person doesn't always face uncertain times every day? You know, it's kind of strange for me, but we're getting through it.
John Pettinger's on a phone line, the founder of Brexis. So this is what they do. Last quick question for you. So then, if you had to tap into any of the federal stimulus, are you participating in any of these programs, John?
We are. We were fortunate to work with Hometown National Bank. The bankers there were just really quick and responsive for us. We were able to get the PPP, and that was just a godsend for us. Our revenues were down a little bit, and I'm optimistic that they're going to come back up. But the PPP that we got is being used entirely for what it was intended, to keep our team together and keep some confidence in the workplace. And then now we're able to respond quickly with our team in place and our vehicles and trucks ready to go to, service as we get back to business. And it's been a godsend. We're thankful. And it's been very helpful.
Some businesses are positioned to weather this storm better than others. People driving food are probably a little insulated from some of this, aren't they?
I agree wholeheartedly.
I like your attitude. I think a lot of people do, John, and I like the way you've been taking care of not only your equipment when the thing was down, but your people to keep them employed. John Pettinger is the president and founder of Brexis. They've got locations in Winfield and Portage and Chicago. Nice to talk to you today, John. Keep up the good work.
John, thanks for having me. Have a great day. And let's stay optimistic. This will be fine.
It's a good attitude.